Let's pray. Good gracious Father, we come before you right now. As we're about to hear your word, let your perfect will be done. Lord, it's all about you. Jesus, the eternal God, the word of the living God. We want to welcome you in our hearts, our minds. Open it to be receptive to receive from you and attentive, O God, to listen to every revelation that proceed from this vessel. Lord, whatever it is that you want to do for your people, as you said this year, let your will be done. We ask for grace, we ask for strength. Speak to our hearts in different ways. Some have come with problems, some have come with needs, some have come with concerns and cares. Some have come with all sort of things, oh God. You know how to meet them because you're the God that is all powerful, all wise, all kind, and all gracious, and all good. Speak to each one of them. When your people leave here, oh God, do not leave the same. You'll be a blessing to them. Let your will again be done. Strengthen me as your son. With confidence, with courage, with authority to speak your word in truth, with passion, O God, with faith to believe this word, that our spirit and their life able to transform the heart of man and woman. As we receive from you, O God, speak life to your people. Speak life in the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. Today I want to talk about a particular topic that we're familiar with. We're so familiar with it. It's like those Christian jargons that we like grace, like mercy, like love. And one of them that I discovered that God wants us to know today is commit. We hear this word commit in different contexts and different application, but we have never actually sat down and try to understand what the word actually means, its denotative meaning. It's like those kind of words that we use a lot, but we never understand the actual meaning of it. Commitment is not just coming to church. That's not the commitment I'm going to talk about today. Commitment is not just a relationship. These are all aspects of commitment. Commitment, I'm going to talk to you guys, is broad, but also specific to an individual. So that's what we're going to talk about. Who and what are you committed to? So that's the title of the message today. Who and what are you committed to? Who and what are you committed to? Because we all have commitments to the who, to the what. So now the question is, at the end of this message, when you hear about commitments, based on what the Bible says about commitments, so now you have to answer for yourself. I'm not going to do that for you. You have to answer for yourself. Who and what are you specifically committed to? So in the context of commitments is that in the Bible, when we come across the word commit, it says, thou should not commit fornication, thou should not commit murder, thou should not commit this, thou should not commit that. Yes, so commit is also different in Hebrew and Greek from what you and I know. To commit, to do something, to perform, or to practice, not to practice evil. That is the word that is mostly used in the Bible in a moral sense. Don't do this, don't do that, don't commit this, don't do that. There's another sense, when I did my study in the Hebrew and the Greek, totally different. But the English word, just use one word for different meanings in Hebrew and in Greek. When I was doing my study, the man of God was saying that not all translations are perfect. That the English language sometimes doesn't really do us well when we read translations in English. But when you and I, thank God, because we have the Greek and the Hebrew lexicon, and you and I can go back and actually study the word itself, what it means in your own time. Because language evolves. So the word commit has actually evolved. So now we think commitment is all about relationship, commitment is all about activities, but it entails a lot. Amen?
So a commitment in this case is that which is your assignment, purpose, and responsibilities you are given to, or you decide upon yourself. It's either you are given to, or you decide upon yourself that I'm going to be committed to so and so, to the who and to the what. Or somebody place it upon you to be committed to the who or to the what. To the who, I mean the person. To the what, I mean like ideas, vision, cause, purpose, or whatever that is. That's what I mean by the who and the what. I don't understand what commitment is. Why we commit. And then the types of commitment. And then the test of commitment. And then the evidence of commitment. Because sometimes we say we are committed, but the Bible gives us clear evidence. And also the Bible also gives us the test of commitment. So we're also going to see lack of commitment. We're also going to hear from God what God has to say about commitment. And we're going to see commitment exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ. We are going to see that. And then we're also going to use other biblical characters who actually display commitment. And then the question is how you and I are going to become committed. The application. And then after that, the benefits of commitment.
16 verse 10 to 13. That's our scriptural reference. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 to 13. That's what we're going to read right now. But then if you have time at home, you can do your own research on this. Psalm 37 verse 5. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 13. Verse 3, I mean. Psalm 37 verse 5. Proverbs 16 and 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 1. And then we're going to read right now Luke chapter 16 verse 10 to 13. I'm going to read because of time. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, how will I commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is yours? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Again, when you read this verse, you don't even see the word commit. You don't see it. It doesn't say commit. But this is the context of based on the sense of what commitment is. These are the definitions. To give, to visit, to oversee. That's the Hebrew. And then the Greek, to have faith in, to entrust. Simple definition of what commitment is. To commit means to actively, again, actively, proactively, actively in a sense that you are doing it, proactively in a sense that you are taking initiative. Continuously, you don't do it, you're not only committed today, it's a continuous process. And persistently, sometimes it's going to be tough. Activeness, proactiveness, continuous persistence. Carry out something, either for yourself or for somebody else. How you do it? You do it actively, you do it proactively, you do it continuously, you do it persistently. It doesn't matter the challenging times. It's good for us to have this foundation of what this word is. Now, what is commitment? I said now, an activity, the activity side of commitment is that which one is fully, continuously, persistently, someone placed on you or you have decided to be devoted to and determined to do until you achieve that desired result. Sometimes you might not even achieve that result, especially when it comes to our faith in God. Some promises that God gives us, we have to be committed in serving God. We might not obtain that promise here. We still have to be committed. Still have to be committed based on what the word says. So that's in terms of activity.
There's two definitions on my part. So the relational aspect of what commitment is the entrustment of the well-being and welfare of those who are in your area of responsibility, care, leadership, influence, and agreement. Two aspects, activity and relationship. You're committed to a task. You're committed to a work. You're also committed to somebody. You're committed to your relationship. Somebody who you're responsible for. You're committed to your children. In their care, as a leader, you're committed to people who look up to you. Influence, agreement, to your wife, to your husband. What are some of the facts about commitments? It can apply to relationship, work, service, in any setting. When you go to work, you're committed to work. When you go to school, you're committed to your studies. When you're in church, you're committed to God, you're committed to the service of God. When you're at home, you're committed to your family, you're committed to your wife, you're committed to your children. So it applies in different range of life. It involves two parties, a receiver and a giver. Sometimes we think that commitment is just, it's a one-way street, it's a lie. Commitment is a two-way street because look at it. I'm not really going to talk about God's commitment to us because we know for a fact that God is committed to us. But now, my focus is our commitment. Our commitment. Because God is already committed to you and I. So commitment is a two-way street. God is expecting you to commit to Him as much as He is committed to you. Your husband is expecting you to commit to him as much as he is committed to you. Even your children, you as a parent, you're committed to your children. And when your children get older, they are committed to take care of you. So it's a two-way bargain. Don't just say, you know what? That's why people give up easily in their relationship. Because they give 100%. Someone else gives nothing. Relationship cannot work apart from commitment. You cannot achieve your project without commitment. You cannot get things from God without commitment. So God wants to teach us about what commitment entails. The value of commitment. As we go along, we're going to see the benefits of commitment. I don't want to jump ahead. It involves a receiver and a giver vice versa. It's not just a receiver. It's not just you giving. You also have to receive. Even God Himself is giving commitment to us. But God is expecting to receive from us. Life is a two-way relationship. It's a two-way street. But sometimes we play one way. Selfishness, of course. Amen? Even with God, too. Sometimes people say commitment is responsibility, obligation, a sense of duty, liability, all these things. These are all synonyms for commitment. So now it's why do you and I commit? Why do you and I have to commit? We commit because an agreement. Whenever you make an agreement with somebody, you have to commit to it and the fulfillment of it. Solomon said, when you come to God, don't even make any promise. Don't even make any vow because you're not going to fulfill it. So when you make an agreement, you have to commit to it. So usually agreement makes people to commit. Even Christ bought you with His blood. It's an agreement. Christ did not just save you for yourself. He didn't just save you so that you can live your life anyhow. He didn't just save you so that you can just do whatever you want to do. He saved you, first of all, to change you, to make you do His will. But if you still rebel against God, you're not going to enjoy the promises of God, you're not going to enjoy the blessings of God because why? You're not in the will of God. That's what redemption is. You and I, we were slaves to sin. Christ went to the market and bought us. As a slave owner, as a master, He is in charge of us. Just like black people, when we were slaves, the white people were in charge of us. They control our life. But Christ is not that kind of master. He is a faithful master. He is a loving master that He said, you know what? You're no longer my servant. To the point where He said, you are my friends. To the point where He said, you are my brothers. To the point where He started calling us sons and daughters. God is not a wicked God. God is not a bossy master. He is Lord Adonai, our master. But not that kind of master that bosses you around, that want to frustrate your life and slay your life. No, his thought towards you are you're good, you're noble, you're perfect, you're of peace, to give us hope and a future for every young man, from every young woman. That is the thought of God. And then we commit because of responsibility at work. That sense of responsibility. But because I have it, I have to commit. Naturally, it's inbuilt in us. As a mom or as a father, naturally, no one has to tell you to be committed to your family. If you're a guy and have children, trust me, and your children are crying because they need food, nobody has to really tell you to wake up and go get a job. You will go get a job because why? God already put that sense of responsibility in you, that your child's responsibility is your responsibility. It's not going to be any man's responsibility. So it's inbuilt in us, that sense of responsibility. So we also commit because of an assignment. Somebody gives you a project, so you're committed to accomplish that project. An accomplishment. You have a goal, you have a desire for 2017. There's some things that you want to do for yourself, right? So you plan. There's no way you're going to accomplish 2017 resolution. There's no way you're going to accomplish 2017 goals and plans for your life if you're not going to be committed to it. So what's the point of being committed to it? So people say, this year I'm going to lose weight. They did it once and they failed continuously. They fail persistently. They think it's just, oh, it's a dream. That life is just a dream world that you don't have to do nothing. No, don't be deceived. Life is real. Life does not give you what you desire. Life gives you what you demand. That's why Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God suffer violent. You gotta be violent to take it by force. You think that witches and wizards are gonna be easy on you? You think that Satan is gonna be easy on you? It's not gonna be easy on you. The Bible said he's looking for somebody to devour. Peter said, be strong. Commitment is key. We also committed because why? We want to obtain something. We want to get something. We want to buy a house. We want to buy a car. We go work overnight so that we can save money, so that we can go to the car place and buy a car or buy a house. So these are all the reasons why. Fulfillment. God gives you a dream. God gives you a vision. God gives you a purpose. You have to be committed to it. So one of the things that sometimes we are committed to, a purpose, a vision, a call, a mission, a goal, a cause. We're committed to these things, an idea, a mindset, a virtue, a character. You want to build the ability. You have to be committed to it until that thing is built in you before you can actually give up on it. Learning. You go to school so that you can learn, so that you can acquire certain skill sets. Promises. A vow, a covenant, marriage, covenant, promises. You're committed to a service, an activity, a work. You're committed to meet the needs of people, or wants, or things. These are all areas in our life that you and I sometimes we are committed to. So commitment is not just that specific, narrow-minded kind of word. It's a broad word that sometimes we use inappropriately. So what are the types of commitment? I have here that the types of commitment are based on who and what. So we have personal commitment and people commitment. Personal commitment and people commitment. These are the two types of commitment. That's one thing I've noticed in life, that we have commitment for ourselves. We have plans that we are committed to. And we also have commitment towards others. Personal commitment and people commitment. So these are the two types of commitment. So the personal commitment is that's the one that you place upon yourself. You decide what you want to be committed to. Nobody forced you, not even God. You decide what you want to do with your life. It's a private thing, at your own expense, at your own time, your own effort, your own resources, because you're the one who came up with such commitment. Don't expect people to do it for you. Sometimes I look at people and they have a goal or they have a desire and something not fulfilled, or a student like me, I attribute my failure to my teacher. Instead of me pointing a finger to myself that it's not a teacher's fault, it's my fault because why I failed to study. We should not expect people to do our own personal commitments. If you make a commitment, do it yourself at your own expense. Amen. Then people commitment at their expense. If God wants you to do something, if God wants you to commit to something, it's going to be God's expense. It's going to be God to provide the resources. If God has a call for you, if God wants to send you to a mission, if God has a vision for your life, it is God's responsibility to direct you, to guide you. But I want us to focus on people commitment. Personal commitment can come another time, but people commitment, that's what we fail sometimes to do. Sometimes we're selfish. There's nothing wrong about personal commitment. You can have commitment for yourself. But the focus is on selfless commitment for others. We fail to do that. It's all about us, individualism. That's the culture we're in. It's all about me, what I want to achieve, my goals, my dreams. But you know that in order for you to get what you want in life, you're going to need people. If people see that you're selfish to them, people see that you're not nice to them, they're not going to help you. So we need each other. Amen? We need one another. We need to assist one another. We need to commit to one another. Not just for yourself. Not just for your own gain. Not just for your own. We have to commit to the church, to your family, to your brother, to your sister. You have to commit to them. Commitment to your family. Commitment to the church. Commitment to others. So commitment is a broad thing that you can apply everywhere in your life. And then the other one is the test of commitment. Let's go to Luke. That's the verse of it, right? Luke 10, 16. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least. God is a wise God. Sometimes we pray for big things. We pray for supernatural things. We pray for, in order for you to obtain certain blessings, God has to test your commitment. Because God won't just give you big things because you just wake up one night out of fantasy. You want big things. God, I want this, I want that. But you never say, God will ask you, why do you want it? Do you have the resources? Do you have the capacity? Do you have the strength? Even if you don't have the strength, if you have the right intent, God will make you to have all the necessary resources that you need. Jesus Christ said, he was faithful in what is least, look at that word, least. God will test the insignificant things, the simple things, the small things that we neglect in church. You want us, just because we're believers, we think we're exceptions, that God should just bless us. No, we have to start somewhere. Christ said, a student is not greater than his teacher. Be a student, we can be a teacher, but we don't want this insignificant, simple, small things. We despise them. I'm too big for this. But God usually tests you and I with small things, with insignificant things, to see how much you appreciate them, how much you're able to manage them. If God gives you $5 and you mismanage it, and you say, God, give me 1,000. I bet you God won't give you that 1,000. Because God said, look at you. You can't even manage simple $5 I gave you. Now you want one. You think I want to waste my money on you? I want to waste my resources on you? Jesus Christ gave talent to three people. He gave one talent. He gave another one 2 talents. Another one 5 talents. And the 2 talents and the 5 talents, they went to the market and they trade what God gave them. They multiply what God gave them. And then the master came back. And the 1 talent guy buried it. He buried his talents. And Jesus said, first of all, Jesus was like, no, I'll come to you later. Let me just focus on this too. Good job. Well done, faithful servant. You are responsible. You are perseverant. You are consistent. Good job. Come, have your rest. Know what? I'll bless you again. Take this more. Take it. Go, you deserve more. Same with the 2. And then for the 1. What do you have for me? Master, I did not sow where I did not put. Master, I put it on the ground. Jesus said, look at you. look at you. Jesus said, you are a wicked man. He said, in hell, you're going to perish. In hell, you're going to perish. Let me say something to you. Late Miles Monroe says something that the greatest treasure of the universe, the wealth of this nation, is in the grave. People who have died, first of all, without discovering or developing or delivering their purpose, and they die. You know that the purpose that God gives you, it's not just for you. It's for you. Yes, you're going to benefit from it, but it's for you and your family. So when God gives you something, do it, use it, because other people's blessings, other people's destiny are attached to you. I'm a living example of that. If God has called me to make me a pillar in my family, it is my responsibility to pray for them, because their salvation, their soul, their destiny is in. If God can open my eyes in a dream to see what people do to my family members and wake me up to pray for them, that means I'm responsible for them. God is doing the same thing, because you say, God, help my family. God said, okay, I'm going to use one individual. And then God said, okay, I'm going to open your eyes so that you can pray. You're not committed to it. Your mom is suffering. Your dad is suffering. Your children are suffering. God said, you have the solution. He wanted to come down from heaven. Damn, no, it's not going to happen. God is a spirit. God needs a human being to use. Just like Satan has agents that work in your family, God also wants agents to work on his behalf. So let's take this idea of commitment very, very, very seriously. It doesn't matter how small. Even in church too, it doesn't matter how many people come. Preach your best. Do your best. Sing your best. That's God is testing you to see, wow. If you have to go back to school, go back to school. Even though you're overqualified for a particular job, do that job very well. Do it very well. Sometimes we want to be promoted and then we do crappy work. Pride. Sometimes pride. Doesn't matter how insignificant, how simple, how small, even in church too, to clean worship, whatever it is. No. Jesus Christ said, if you want to be great, you have to be small. If you want to be the first, you have to be the last. Any work you give me, I'll do it. God is going to test how you manage something, how you maintain something, how you sustain something, stewardship. God is going to test you how you treat something, the treatment of the people that God has given you, how you treat as a leader, how you treat people who look up to you. Selfish leaders we have in our society, especially in Africa. You said you proclaim that you're committed to something. You don't show up on time. You're always making excuses. That's all a test of commitment. That's why Solomon said, sometimes just be careful what you say. Don't try to please nobody. Don't even try to please God. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Simple. Don't try to overestimate. Or that's pride. Pride is not just feeling high of your pride. It's promising to do something because you just want to show off and then you don't end up doing it. Just be simple and plain. Don't make any vow. If you can't do something, say, you know what, I can't commit to this. I'm sorry, man. I can't. I don't have the time. I don't have the money right now. I can't do this business. I can't do that. Just tell people. So these are all the tests, how God is going to test you. Even God will give you money. You're asking God, God, bless me with this. God will be like, okay, I'm going to give it to you. When you come to church, God bless you 1,000. You're giving God $5. Hey, sometimes we think God is stupid. God is not stupid. We're the one that is stupid. I'm the one stupid, but not God. We cannot play God. We cannot play God. God is wise. Sometimes we think that by playing God, we can get away with it. God is just his grace and his mercy. Satan doesn't joke around with God. We humans, we joke around with God. Because, anyways, that's God. But Satan, he doesn't joke around with God. When God said this, it's final. But you and I, we argue with God, we complain. God, if God said yes, he said no. Only man can challenge God. But God, so gracious and kind, that's love, I'm telling you. He didn't play around with Satan. Satan tried to challenge him. He said, you know what, get out of my sight. But for you and I, we challenge God. What kind of love is this? Trust me, that kind of love, I've never seen that. No woman will give you that kind of love. No man will give you that. I bet you. Doesn't matter how beautiful, if your wife said, your husband said this, trust me, they cannot give that kind of love that God can give. Only God. That is why Jesus Christ said, this is eternal life. Eternal life is to know the only true God. Look at that word, only. God is distinct. God is unique. There's nobody like him. That's why he said, there's nobody. Who has a heart like that? Who has a heart like God? Who has a mind like God? To the point where, glory be to God. Amen? Jesus is good. I'm going to deviate a little bit. But this thing has been in my mind, because even Jesus Christ himself, he went to Galilee, and in his own family, his brothers and sisters, they're saying, you claim to be this, why are you hiding? The Pharisees are trying to kill you, why are you hiding? Because you say you're going to save the world, why can't you just go and show yourself? You don't have to hide. And they give a parable. Jesus Christ was like, my time, my hour has not yet come. I'm like, is it because Jesus Christ is afraid? He wasn't afraid. And said, he told his disciples, go to the feast, I'm going to come back. His own family didn't even believe in him. He came back to help them out, to show himself that he is God. And then he went to the feast. People were trying to kill him. And he went to the temple with boldness. And the people were saying, is this not the guy who said this and this? And the Pharisees were trying to kill him. But now he speaks with authority. And then the Pharisees, they sent centurions to bring Jesus Christ. And then when they came back to report, they said, why didn't you bring him? We have never seen such a man that spoke like this. Jesus Christ said, my heart, you can't take my life. You cannot take a destined or purposeful man or woman of God. You see, if you want to live long, make a covenant with God. Say, God, I'm a destiny child. I'm a child of purpose. The enemy cannot take my life. Because when your life is taken, your purpose is taken. People's life is also taken. So that's why you cannot die. Say, God, that's why Jesus Christ said, even though he tried to kill himself, he cannot die. Because I have to do my Father's work. The time has not yet come. Satan tried it. He used different means. He said no. So what are the evidence of commitment? If you say you're committed, what are the evidence? I wish I had the slides here because I have a funny picture. But anyways. Time. Your resources. Your efforts. Your contribution. Your support. Faith and result, even faith. God said, you think you're committed? Let me see if you have faith. Faith is also an evidence of commitment. God promised you something. You say, God, I'm committed to that promise. Oh, you can't just say you're committed to that promise. You have to exercise faith. That is why this morning we were praying, right? And I said, this is what the Lord said about this ministry this year. And I said, God, because one thing is that sometimes when God promises us, we don't remind God. We forget about it. It's God's responsibility to do it. No. If God gave you a word, my sister, my brother, it is your responsibility to remind God and walk along with it. Because God is not going to come and do everything for you. God will do his part. You also have to do your part. So an evidence of commitment is the time. If you show that you're committed to people or to things, you have to give time in it. Sometimes we fail to do that. If you're committed to a project, if you're committed to your husband or to your wife, you have to spend time with your wife and your husband. You have to spend time with your children if you're actually committed to them. Our words can deceive us. Our words can deceive us. Don't believe a man's word. Believe his action. If his action proves his word, then you believe his word. So I don't believe any man that just speaks his word. First, I want to see your action. I'm tired of believing words. Only Jesus' word is powerful, but man's word is not powerful. Only Jesus, when he speaks, it happens. But you know, when we speak, it won't happen. Sometimes you have to beg for it to happen. You have to even put your own money for it to happen. Evidence, our resources. You do not a business, you have a business idea with other people. And then everybody said 50-50. First of all, you're stingy. You have money in your account. You don't want to put, but every partner have put their own money, but you're keeping it. That's a sign of no commitment. Even with God too. You want to build a project for God. You have money. You didn't put it. No commitment. Contribution, no commitment. Commitment is key. It's essential. People need your help. You said you're committed to somebody. You're committed to soul. Somebody is in need. A sister is going through pain. For you to call that sister, no commitment. God wants us to commit to one another. Commitment, we can apply commitment, not just in giving money, not just in giving your time. You can call somebody, you can talk to somebody, encourage them, pray for them. Small things like this. That's why I said that. Christ said, if you're faithful in the least things, you will be faithful in much. But simple things, just to take your phone or WhatsApp or send a text message to somebody and say, bro, how are you? How are you doing? You don't have to go into a long conversation. Just something like that. That one too, we fail. We claim that we're a committed child of God, but we, all of us, including myself too, we fail it. I like what it says. Evidence of commitment. Look at what it says. Hate the one or love the other. Loyal to the one or despise the other. If you are committed to something, you will love it. You are loyal to it. If you're not committed to something, you will hate it. You will despise it. God said, God did not compare himself with Satan. God compared himself with money. Because we live in a capitalistic society where money is the master. Solomon said, money answers everything. It's true. I'm not saying that God does not want you to have money. Don't get me wrong. God wants you to work, make money, because you need money. It's an exchange. But God wants to change your mindset about money. That money is not God. When you start seeing money as God, and you cannot live without money, you start seeing money as an idol. You start putting money on the same standard with God. Where money is competing with God. You know, God is a jealous God. God does not want to compete with nobody. Not even, but we use a thing to compare God, but even Satan. God does not say, don't, you cannot serve God and Satan. He did not even say that. He did not even say, it baffles my mind because I thought Satan was all powerful. I thought Satan is the one that claimed to be God. But God looked so down upon him. God is like, no, Satan is nobody. He said, it's of no use. But God, to the point where money, you can't serve two masters. God himself called money a master. Hey! Open your eye. The Bible is factual. The Bible is realistic. Sometimes we make it all religious nonsense, all fantasy. But the Bible is as realistic as it could be. God is telling you how it is. That you and I, we sometimes make money our master. We make money our Adonai. See, you cannot sell to master. You can't. You can't. That's what God said. You can't. Is God saying you can't have money? Nope. Nope. It's about commitment. Loyal. So you're going to hate. So you're going to hate the other one. You're going to love the other one. And we're living in a society where we all pursue money. There's nothing bad about that because we all have needs. Don't get me wrong. We all have needs, right? There's nothing bad about that. I want to say there's a way where you can serve God and also make money. Rich people, they're making money, they also have time for their family. If rich people can do that, they're making money, they have time for their loved ones because they value them much more than the one that they're getting. They say, you know what? I'm going to be in charge of money. I got to tell money what to do. And they make time for their family. You and I will be working for them, they'll be sleeping, taking their family for vacation. But when it comes to God, no, God is not expecting you to give him 24 hours. You know what? God is saying, I want to be everything in your life. I want to be, even when you're at that job, I want to be there with you. The Bible said a man's gift to make a room for you. Have you ever considered your gifts? Have you ever considered your purpose? Some of us, we're doing something that is not even our gift, but we spend so much time doing it. We give our all and whole doing something that is not even our talent, not even our strength. And we expect to obtain big results. You can never maximize your weakness. That's why being in a business, they say, maximize your strength, minimize your weakness, but we maximize our weakness that will minimize our strength.
Our eyes. We really have to open our eyes and set our priorities straight. Jesus Christ, if you seek Him first, His kingdom and His righteousness, everything else will be added onto you. Does that mean God wants you to be lazy? No. What causes lack of commitment? Misprioritization, misappropriation. We misprioritize. Again, what causes lack of commitment? Because we are all committed to something. Don't tell me you're not committed to nothing. You're committed to something. When you give your time, you give your energy, you give your effort, you give your resources. We are all committed to something or to somebody. We're committed to a particular girl that we saw. We're committed to a guy that we saw that we liked. And we call that person every time that person's in our mind. Misprioritization. That's the thing that hurts you and I. We misprioritize. God wants to be the first and the best. He said, the two greatest commandments. So simple. God, stop religion. Religion is not going to help you at all. God said, these are the two greatest commandments. He said, love me. Love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. He said, love me first. Let me be the best in your life. God wants to be the best in your life. That is what God usually struggles with, to be the best and the first in our life. Just if God becomes the best and our first, we can delight in Him. Sometimes God is secondary. God is third. If God is lucky, God can even take the second place. Sometimes God is on the fifth place, the last place. God is saying, I'm the most significant individual in this planet. I'm the most essential. I'm the most factor. Without me, you're nothing. Jesus Christ made that statement. He said, without me, you're nothing. God is saying that to you. Without Him, you're nothing. Because He's your maker. But we think we can do it with God. Yes, you will do it. You're going to struggle to do it. Yes, a rich man will possess wealth. But then you're going to lose your soul. You're not going to have that true happiness. So it's not just about money. God, please, let's prioritize. Let's prioritize. Let's prioritize. Because when we misprioritize, we misappropriate our resources and our time to the wrong people, to the wrong thing, and then we expect to produce greater results. Like I said, God wants to be the first and the best. God is steadfast and is faithful. Again, come from the same root word, steadfast and faithfulness. Not many times the word faithfulness is in the Bible, saying that God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful. God always makes Himself faithful. He said, I'm faithful. Faithfulness is, you can believe in me. You can trust me. It doesn't matter the time. It doesn't matter your condition. I'm God. I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes you think that the things that God used to do for the Old Testament, the things that God used to do for His disciples, God has ceased to do it. No. The words of Jesus Christ, you're alive. Your power. Life is present. That's why He said, I am. The I am. I'm present. God is not the I was. He started the I was, He is the I am, He is present. Greater things you and I can do. God is also committed to His word. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible says, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. This is God gave the oracles, the revelation to the Jewish people. And then in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says that God gave the gospel for us, to the disciples. So that's what God committed to us. He committed His word. It is from the word of God we carry out all other activities and services for God's spiritual. It is from the word of God that you and I do the things of God. It is from the word of God that you and I pray. It is the word of God from you and I claim blessings and promises. There's no way we can get it off our head. No, it's impossible. That's why Jesus Christ said, know me. So my words, they're going to live forever. So the gospel is not yours. It's not about you. So the word of God is not, it's not yours to keep for yourself. The word of God is not about you. And you're not the subject matter. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. That's why I said that even Moses wrote about me. Let's look at Jesus Christ as a perfect example.
Jesus, the Bible said Jesus Christ was committed to the Father and humanity. John 10, verse 15. It says that Jesus was committed to the Father and humanity. So I'm not just talking about commitment. We're looking at the Master, how he exercised commitment. He was committed to the Father, to relationships, to people, not things. He was committed to such. He had his priorities right. Not just anything from his head. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. That's commitment, to lay down his life for you. So Jesus was committed to the will of the Father. If you want to know that, John 6:38. Jesus was committed to the will of the Father, John 6:38. He was committed to the will of the Father. And then Jesus was committed to the words of the Father, John 12:49. He was committed to the words of the Father. So we're looking at the life of Jesus Christ as an example of how you and I can be committed. He was committed to the will of the Father. He was committed to the words of the Father, John 12:49. And the Bible said, John 5:19, it says that he was committed to the works of the Father. So these are the commitments of Jesus Christ. He is committed to the works of the Father. It says, and Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. He is committed to the works of the Father. And then John 17, verse 21, Jesus is committed to the works and the ways of the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, these two verses talks about his commitment to the works and the ways of the Father. The difference between the works and the ways is his mindset, and then the works is his character. So John 2 verse 6, Matthew 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His mindset was of things above. So we looked at Jesus Christ as a perfect example of him being committed to the will, because the will, that's where it all begins. Your intent. You say, God, I'm committed to your will, not my will. And you always say, God, this is not for me. You say, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, let your will be done. So in order for you and I to be committed, we first of all have to give up, surrender our will. It's hard. Because your will is something that God will never force you. You have to make that decision. And your will has to be willing. Does it make sense? Your will has to be willing. Your will has to be willing. Because you don't want to say, oh, I'm just doing it because of a religious reason. Trust me, God doesn't really buy that. We have to give our will. And another thing that you and I have to be committed to is the words of God. He said, the words of the Father. He said, the words that I speak to you, they're not my words. They said, the words that I speak to you, they are of the Father. The words are of the Father. And these words are powerful. So you and I have to be committed to, I'm talking about the will of God first, and then the words of God. Just laying the foundation in terms of our commitment. The will of God first, the words of God. The Bible contains the words of God. Commit yourself in the reading. Commit yourself in the study of the Word of God. Because the more you know the Word, the more you know how God thinks. The more you know how God operates. And then, Jesus Christ was committed to the works and the ways of God. He wanted to be like the Father. He wanted to think like the Father. That is why Christ has come to deliver us, that you and I can become like him, to walk like him in our character, in our actions. And he wants us to think like him. So another way you and I can be committed is committed to our own spiritual character, fruitfulness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we hear the word, we apply it immediately. Don't wait, you apply it. So that's our commitment, the works. And then the ways we begin to change our mindset. How God will think about this issue. We have the perception of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when I read the book of John, his perception of our life is so different compared to the disciple. And it was always on the point. So we need to know the ways of God, not just the acts. So that's why I have it in order. The will of God first, the words of God first. Because there's no way you're going to read the Bible if you don't have the will to do it. First of all, you need the will, you need the words, and now the words will tell you, hey, this is what God desires you to do. Da-da-da. You read the word, you study it, you do it, the word begins to supernaturally transform the way you think. Because Paul said that renew your mind. He said transformation takes place in the mind. That's where the word of God is essential. That's where we're hearing the word of God right now. And then the last one, but sometimes that we want before anything else is the works of God. We want the works of God, the act, the activities. That's what most times we pray for, God, your work. But we never go back to the basis, the foundation. This is a revelation that God gave me a long time ago that I want to give you substance. I don't want to give you external things. I want to give you internal substance. I want to give you the foundation. Because sometimes we pray for the external, we pray for the byproduct, but we'll never pray for the seed. God wants us to have the foundation to cover. He said the righteous shall flourish and he's going to plant them. God wants to plant you. Christ wants to be the rock. Christ wants to be your root. The works. And then we are committed to the works of God. The works also give me the service of God, like healing, delivering, whatever it is. We also have to be committed to that. Amen. And then before I close, I'm going to pray based on this, the commitment of Jesus Christ, that God will help us to commit to him. Amen. So let's just talk to God briefly before I close about, for God to change our priorities when it comes to commitments. That God will help you and I, as our Lord, our Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ, set the pace for us. He was committed, number one, to the will of the Father. He was committed to the words of the Father. He was committed to the ways and the works of the Father. He was committed to the works of the Father. So let's talk to God right now. Say, God, I want to commit my will to you. I want to commit my will to you. I know sometimes I'm stubborn. Sometimes I want things my own way. Yes, we all want things our own way. Thinking that God is not going to give us the best. Thinking that God doesn't know what's best for us. But let's just trust him. Say, Father, have my will. Don't be afraid to surrender your will to God. Don't be afraid to say, God, have me. Have my heart. Have my decision. Have my intent. And let us also pray that God, help me to commit to your word. Help me, when I spend time to study your word this year, I want to receive life. I don't want the letter to kill me, but I want that letter, that agape, that logos, that rhema, that revelation, that insight, that truth to come to inspire me, illuminate me, oh God, so that my life will not be the same this year, oh God Almighty. And then say, God, let your works and your ways help me to be committed to them. Your works and your ways help me to be committed to them. Help us to be committed to your mindset, how you think. And then lastly, say, God, help me to commit to your works. Help me to start doing the things that you said I could do. I can lay a hand on the sick. I can speak to the mountains in my life. I can move. Help me, God. These are just simple prayers that we have prayed. But it's up to you and God. If you believe it deep down in your heart what you have prayed for, just ask if you can believe, it is possible with you. I'm not going to scream over your head. I'm not going to shout over your head. It's just a simple prayer between you and God. God knows your heart. And I pray that what you have said, God will do for you. In Jesus' name, God bless you.